Education outcomes across Australia are slipping, but the figures are substantially worse in regional Australia. Students outside the major cities perform significantly worse on NAPLAN tests, and 9% fewer go on to university. Older Australians in regional areas are also significantly less engaged in education. The Regional Australia Institute aims to change that with a new initiative it's hoped will level the playing field. I'm joined in the studio by the Institute CEO, Jack Archer. Jack, welcome to the program.
Thanks, Patricia.
How much worse are education outcomes in regional Australia compared to metropolitan areas?
Look, there's quite a bit of a gap. So what we've done with our new Human Capital Index is we've looked at everything from early childhood all the way through to adult learning, and there's gaps all across the board. So, you know, we're seeing regional areas falling behind in schooling. We're seeing falling behind in engaging people after school in learning or earning, and we're seeing lower adult education rates. And I think what this says to us is that we're getting to the point where we're at risk of a second-class education system, where you're born will really have a big impact on what kind of education you get and the opportunities that come after.
Is this just about better schools, better teachers, investments obviously that follow that, or is it something more fundamental that's required?
So I think we've been talking about better schools, we've been putting money into these initiatives for a long time now, and I don't think we've seen great results. So what we're saying off the back of the index and the work we've done in every local area around the country is it's about engagement. I think if we're going to change this situation that's frankly existed for a long time, we need to get everybody in regions engaged in education. I think we need to pull back from, it doesn't have to be a PhD, you don't have to be changing your career. But, you know, if more people in regions are engaged, if more adults in regions are actively participating in education, if we can radically lift those numbers, I think a lot of these issues we've got in schools, I think that funding that we're going to put in behind these issues will be much more effective. And so we've got a regional education review the government's just starting, and I'd really like to see them put a big vision on the table in front of all the, you know, all the work we've got to do in terms of schools and university and vocational education. Unless we put some aspiration on top of that, I don't think we're going to change the way things are going.
You've also identified a need to lift education for older Australians in regional areas. What does that mean in practical terms, and how can you achieve that? I mean, some of these people would have already very much been, you know, past their education period.
Look, I don't think, I mean, one of the things we say is I don't think you're ever past your education period.
Well,
to be honest,
you know, during those key years where, yeah, you know, you're younger and you're you know, you're forced legally to go to school. That's what I'm referring to.
I think what the important thing that people in regions need to think about is when we're talking about automation and all these big discussions about the jobs of the future, regional areas are more exposed to those changes. And so the only way older people in regions are going to be able to adapt is by changing their skills up. It doesn't necessarily mean a new degree or something like that, but work out what you think the opportunities are locally and chase that with education. It can be simple stuff. I think what the government can do is make that much more easily available. Often the next job that you want, we all have this example, the next job that you want, you've got most of the skills, but you might be missing something. How can the education system be there providing you access to just the bit that you need to take that next step forward? I think if we can do that, we'll get a lot more people actually engaging.
You're launching something called the Insight Human Capital Index. What is it and what does it measure?
So one of the frustrations we have and a lot of regional people have is that we always talk about this in generalities. We have been at the moment. So yep, the high-level numbers. What we've done with our Human Capital Insight Index is we've run the numbers for every local area around the country. So Melbourne City, Broken Hill, doesn't matter, whatever local area around the country. And all of the numbers for your local area are available online and a ranking which tells you where you sit relative to everyone else in Australia. So if you're the number one region, you can see that. If you're the 564th local government area, you can see that as well. It's not about saying who's the best and worst. It's about getting some clarity about how these problems play out in different places. Because while we've got a general divide, when you look at those individual places, it's very, very different depending on where you are.
Where do you get the information you're using?
So we get a range of things, mostly publicly available sources. So in the NAPLAN results, we use some census data. We've done some work with the early childhood data. So there's a range of publicly available sources that we've put together and put into a different format that just hasn't been available before.
If you're just tuning in, this is RN Drive and Jack Archer is my guest. He's from the Regional Australia Institute. We're talking about, you know, the kind of education available to people in regional Australia. And our number, if you want to text in, is 0418. 0800 226 576. What do you make of that city regional divide? Maybe you're experiencing, and I know we've got a lot of listeners in regional areas, that's for sure. I know, because many of them sign off their text telling me 0418 226 576. What information will this give policymakers, and how will you measure whether it's actually useful and it gives you those kind of tangible results?
So we're already talking directly to policymakers about this and the review itself. We're talking to them about what we've found. We'll make all this information available, and we've made the offer to the review that we'll cut it and shape it and however, which will make their job easy to think about the trends. So one of the challenges policymakers have is, how do you help local places solve their problems? So some places they need to fix schooling outcomes, other places it is that adult engagement. How do we have a policy approach that can bend itself to work for individual communities and get people engaged? This information will give people some really good insight into how that changes even between communities that are not that far from each other. So that nuance is really important.
And one of the problems faced by regional communities is that young people have to leave for study or work somewhere else, and they really lose a lot of young people too. How do you create the sorts of opportunities in regional towns that make them want to stay, so they don't do the leaving in the first place?
Look, I think we don't argue against the leaving too much. I think, I was a kid in regional Australia, and when I was 17, I wanted to move on and see some other things and, spent some time in other places. So I don't necessarily think it's about stopping kids leaving. I think it's about giving people options. So you can stay home and study. You can do some different things. It's about creating businesses with good job opportunities who are confident to keep those jobs locally because they know people are there. I think young people will leave all regions. That's something that happens. We can do better, but I don't necessarily think it's just about that.
Thank you so much for coming in.
Thanks, Patricia.
That's the CEO of the Regional Australia Institute, Jack Archer. Now, coming up on RN Drive, consumer confidence rates in the US have surged to a 16-month high. I'm going to be joined by ABC Business presenter Elise Morgan to find out why and get some analysis on exactly what's happening there. Lots coming up too. We're going to talk about a new selfie study. Now, I know some people instinctively knee-jerk reaction is, how silly, why would anyone study a selfie? Why would anyone invest in, research on selfies? But given, you just have to walk kind of up a street to see the fact that most people are always taking selfies of themselves, like constantly, perhaps it is worth looking at. We're going to look at the results of a study, an Australian study, very soon on RN Drive. I'm on your radio till 7:30. I'll let you know what the text line is if you want to text in on any of our conversations. We talked to Senator Darren Hinch a little earlier about what he might do on the business tax cuts. He says, a bit of negotiating room from him. He might be prepared to vote for business tax cuts above that $10 million turnover for businesses. He won't say how much, but he is prepared. 0418 226 576 is the text line. And the other really interesting thing he said was, he explained why he changed his position on penalty rates. He had supported the independent umpire's ruling on that penalty rate cut. Now he says the view in the community is so overwhelmingly opposed to it, he's responding to that, even though as an individual he supports the cut. Really interesting perspective from him. You can also tweet us using the hashtag RNDrive.